Hello, listener. My name is Jane Karago Odongo. Jane Odongo. So I am talking about living in foreign lands. I'm talking about experiences of people living in foreign lands, and I have some. I don't know if I would call it advice. But I have some advice for people who are living in foreign lands and experiencing what they have, they're experiencing, what are better ways of being successful in these lands. You are listening to Mkarimu Radio. Mkarimu Radio, it is on mkarimu.net. So I thank you for listening. So I would like to talk, to continue on the conversation that we heard last week. This program is aired every Friday at 9 p.m. So today we're going to continue with the conversation that we had last week. And last week we talked about the amount of credit cards and the amount of loans and the amount of debt, the amount of loans and the amount of debt that people end up having. Usually by the fifth year in this country, you have been offered a lot of credit cards. You have been offered line of credit. You have been offered a mortgage. You have been offered, when things are really, really hard and you're struggling with your credit cards, the banks and the financiers come to you and they offer you a line of credit. And they say, oh, this has a lower interest rate. And you say, yeah, this is a good thing. So you get that. You're trying to buy a car and they give you financing. So you go into more debt. You're going to try and buy some good chairs, some good, a nice dining set, a good bedroom set, whatever you want. You're feeling, I deserve this. I need a good bedroom. I'm working very hard. And the only time I spend in my house is in my bed, because I come from one job to the next job and then straight to my bed. So I need a good bed. And then when you go to the furniture shop and they have these sorts of this whatever price they have, and you see a very good bedroom set, and they say, we can give you financing, and you say, you know what, I deserve it. I work so hard, and the only time I am in my house is in my bed. I need a good bed. So you have all these debts. We also talked about the remittances, the money that you send home. And I'm talking about money that you send to family, to loved ones who need your help. So, you know, we talked about sending money to help with your mom that's not feeling well, with your dad that's not feeling well, with a sister, a brother, a very good aunt, that, you know, all these relatives that need money, money for weddings, money for fundraisings that are going on in a school that you attended, and your uncle is a guest of honor. So all these places, your uncle is retiring from the church, and he's 70 years old and he's retiring, and you have to buy him the suit that he's going to wear on his retirement day, or his retirement party. Your nephew who has been admitted to the best university in your country, and he's going to take medicine, he's going to study IT, he's going to study engineering, and it's a great thing. And your brother has seven children, and this is the eldest child, and you need to help, and you offer to pay half the tuition, or sometimes you even say, you know what, you're my brother, I love you very much, and I'm going to pay tuition for the first year, you know. So you have the wedding of a niece, you have so many things going on, so many things. You have the fundraising of the drilling of a borehole in your village. They are drilling a borehole, and you know how much it is, how important it is for your home village, for your rural area, for the place where you grew up, to have water. And you say, I'm here, I'm in Canada, I'm in the UK, I'm in Australia, I'm in US, and we have running water. You know, finally we can have water back home. So I am going to send a good amount of money to help with that. And your parents are telling you, your family are telling you, you know, you're out there, this is an important thing, and we are going to mention your name, you know, you really, really need to help. And, you know, and the chief was here, or the pastor was here, and he said that we should give you this message that we are going to drill a borehole, we're going to drill a well where we'll be getting water for the whole community. So you say, you know what, yeah, I don't have money, guys, I really don't have money, but because it's the pastor said, I'm going to send some money. You know, so these are responsibilities that are put on you that you have to shoulder, but also there are responsibilities that you take on. Because at the end of the day, it is your choice to say yes or no. And it is, I know, I understand that it is quite difficult to say no. And one of the things that makes it difficult for us to say no when we are living in foreign lands, when we have gone abroad, when we are the lucky ones, the chosen few that have made it abroad, that have left their country, that have permanent residency in their new country, you have your green card, you are now a citizen, you're now a Canadian citizen, you're a British citizen, you have your new home, so you are doing so well, you are so fortunate that you are almost feeling guilty that you are so fortunate and the people back home are not as fortunate as you. So when we look at the theme of immigration and the experiences of immigrants, it is actually, it has been, you know, been proved that people do carry a certain amount of guilt. So whenever there's a need at home, they feel that they owe the family, they owe the people back home something. They owe them something because they are the lucky ones that left. And the people back home did not leave, and they are back home, and they are not doing as well. They are not as lucky. So come on, you know, there is this fundraising for, you know, your neighbor, the ones that had a blue pickup, their son is very sick, and they need to do a fundraising to send them to India, and they need 3.2 million local currency, and so they are doing a fundraising. And you know that neighbor, you know that son, you grew up together, so you have to send money. You know, you are lucky, you're in this country, you have insurance, you have healthcare, you have good doctors here, you have the facilities, you don't have to go abroad, and you understand that your poor neighbor needs surgery and they need to go to India, and you have to send money. So all these are burdens that you have to bear as an immigrant in a foreign land. As an immigrant in a foreign land, you have to choose, you have to decide whether this is your burden that you have to bear. And if you have to bear this burden, if you have to help, you have to decide how much you're going to help. Are you going to foot the whole bill? Are you going to set aside some money and say, I have $100, and anything that comes up to for people back home, that's all I am sending. I am sending $100 every month, and this is what I will send. Whatever happens, I am going to send $100 and not more, not a cent more. I'm going to send £100, I'm going to send £75 to my home country to take care of things that come up, and I am going to wait and hear what's going on, and then I'm going to send the money, and I'm not going to send a cent more. So you have to decide what you need to do. You are not an investor, you are not a business, you are not a sponsor for political parties, you are not rich, you are an employee, you are a person struggling in a foreign land, you do not have a lot of money, you do not have cows that you're milking and selling the milk. You do not have chickens that you are selling. You do not have a business on the side. You do not have eggs that you sell. You do not have eggs that you take to the city to sell. You do not have crops. You do not have vegetables that you sell and make extra money beyond your income. You are an employee. You have money that comes from your job. You are highly taxed. You are highly taxed because the roads are good, because the system works. You have the street lights are working. The doctors are in the hospitals. The hospital beds are in place because you are paying very, very high taxes. So because of that, you don't have a lot of money that you take to home. You don't have a lot of money that you end up with in your bank account. In that case, then you have to make a decision how much money will I pledge to be sending home. What are priorities for me? When they ask for money from home, there is a fundraising to build a church. There's a fundraising to build a school. There's a fundraising to send someone to India. There's a fund, you know, there's all these things. What are you going to be giving money for, and what are you going to say no to? You have to find what to say no to, because you cannot do it all. If you are in your home country, would you attend every fundraising? Would you give money everywhere? If you would, then how much? How much? So you have to come up with a percentage and say, this is all I can give. When I have given all this amount, I'm not going to give any more amount. Right now, there are companies through which you can send money. And some of these companies, you don't pay any money for sending, which means you can send $10 for the water project. You can send another $7 for the person going to India. And by the time you have finished your $100, that is it, you know, unless it's your immediate family that has an emergency, then maybe you can deal with that. You can address that just like you would back home. If your mom is sick, if your dad is sick, you know, if your dad is sick, then those are things that you have to take care of. But these other businesses, it is up to you now to decide, how much am I going to contribute? And for how long am I going to contribute? You know, you are in this, you are no longer there. You are in Canada, you're in the UK, you're in the US, you're in Australia, you're in some other place in Europe. Do you need to continue contributing heavily to these countries? Do you need to be an active member of that community? Or do you need to build your own community where you are? Are there any contributions going on in your current home, you know, in the country that you're living in? So, and yes, there are. You are a member of a community. When someone passes away, when someone dies in your foreign land, when someone dies, when a relative dies in the place where you're living, you are asked to contribute. When someone dies, you are told, Mary lost her mom back home. Please let us meet at Mary's house on Friday and bring a contribution, because Mary is planning to go home on Tuesday to bury her mom. So that is a contribution. Are you going to ask people from back home, hey, my friend Mary lost her mom, can you please send me something? No. You will not be asking. They will be like, are you kidding me? Money comes from Maju. Money comes from abroad to Africa. Money does not come from Africa to abroad. So you will not be asking them. You will not be telling them, my very good friend lost her mom. You will not be telling them that. So you know that you have contributions here. You have churches. There are so many churches, African churches, that are coming up in the foreign land. And everyone is building. Everyone wants money. A pastor is starting a church, left, right, and center. And you are trying to find a place where you want to belong. And you're like, we need to build. I'm a member of the committee. We need to grow this church. We need more members. We need better chairs. We need this. We need that. We need we need to buy new equipment. We need musical instruments for our church, and we are pledging, you know. And your church is saying, your pastor is saying, sow a seed at the beginning of the year. Give your 10%, you know. So, and you feel that, you know, with spirituality and the way us people of Africa or people from Africa have been raised, we are very spiritual, and we take spirituality seriously, whether it is Christianity, whether it is Islam, or any religion that we are in. We feel that it is our responsibility to do what we are asked to do, especially by our pastor, our faith leader, our bishop. We need to make sure that our bishop has a good car, our bishop has a good home, our bishop's wife, the bishop's wife must wear good clothes. They must look good. They must be presentable. They must be presentable. Our bishop himself must be presentable. The pastor must be presentable. Come on. The pastor is not going to wear some worn out shoes and a bad shirt. He's preaching. He's a man of God, you know. So these are responsibilities. This is money that you are paying in your foreign land, in your new home, in a new country. You are not going to the mainstream churches. You are not going to the Anglican church. You are not going to your local Catholic church. You are not able to go to the Presbyterian church because you went there at the beginning. When you came to this country, you went to that church. You told them, I'm Presbyterian, and you identified a Presbyterian church near your house. And you know what? You went in there, and it was full of old people. Everyone had gray hair, and they sang the old hymns, the hymns that you, some of them you don't even know them. And they were slow, and the church was dull, and they were boring, and the preacher was boring, and you went and the church was half empty. Only one third of the church was occupied, only an eighth of the church. Like, this church is big, but there were like 20 people scattered all over the place. And you were like, what kind of a church is this? People, they tried to smile at you, and they may have said things that you did not like. Say, are you from Africa? You know, and you're like, you know, so you didn't like it. They say, oh, come for coffee downstairs. And you went for coffee. You just didn't feel at home. You didn't feel comfortable. You didn't feel like you belonged. It's like, I like my Anglican church back home. I like my Catholic church. We dance, we sing, we stand up, we sit down. It is so much fun. I go to this church. It is 45 minutes long or 45 minutes short. How can church be 45 minutes? You go in, before you know it, you're out. And people just go away. They get into their cars and go. And you go and stand at your bus stop, and you're like, you don't have a car yet. And what's this? Is this a Presbyterian church? It is so dull. The pastor is so boring. He says, you're welcome. We are happy to have you here. We hope you're able to see you again next Sunday. No, you will not see me next Sunday. No. I don't even feel anything. I went to church, and I came out feeling empty. I came out feeling empty. Some people have had a bad experience where they entered a church and they sat in a pew and everybody moved away from them. So you go in, you sit, and everyone gets up and they move away. No, I'm not going back. It's my church, but I'm not going back there. So what do? You look for your people. you look for your church and you find that your people have started Pentecostal churches, have started different churches. They may even have a Presbyterian church. A Presbyterian church that is fun, more active, but it's a growing church. They don't have a lot of money. They don't even have a building. They are using someone's church in the afternoon. You start in someone's house. Then you start, you know, contributing money to find a place to rent. You rent in a community hall. And then gradually, you get your own place. You rent a place. It's very expensive to buy land and build a church in these countries. So you are building this church. You have to be committed. So you have other financial commitments in your new land. You have fundraisings in your new land. You have groups. Women have groups. They are coming together. They are putting money together. They are doing the merry-go-round like they used to do it at home. They call it susu. They call it different names. The men are having their own groups. They are buying trucks. They are coming together. They are putting money together. They are opening accounts back home and here, and they are getting groups. We have other groups, the funeral groups, where you give $100 every month, so that if you have a parent or an immediate family member die back home or here, you're given some money to help with that. So you have all that, and you have responsibilities. Does your employer know that? Does your government know that? Does your government know that you're contributing more, so they should not tax you more? No, they do not know. You, compared to a person who was born in that, who is from that country, like a local person. For example, I live in Canada. Me and a Canadian person who's been here for generation, earning the same money, we are so different. They get their money, it's their money. If they have student loan, they pay student loan. If they still have student loan, if their grandmother did not pay for their university, or if their parents did not save for their university. But if they have a loan, they will be paying that, but they'll be enjoying their lives. They'll be going for vacation every year or twice a year, because their money belongs to them. But as an immigrant, your money is your money, but you have to share it with everyone else. So think about it. What can you contribute to, and what are you not able to contribute to? Then there is the other big thing that everyone is talking about now. If you're growing old, if you're starting to grow old in this country, if you're in your 50s, in this country, you are planning to go back home and retire. So if you're going to retire at home, one thing that you need to do is starting investing at home. People are talking about it. People are saying, there's no way I'm going to grow old in this country. There is no way I am going to go to a nursing home and be mistreated in a nursing home. There is no way my children are going to put me in a nursing home. Therefore, I am going to invest back home. And you know, back home, it's really good. All you need is a house. Once you have your house, you're good. At least you're not paying rent. At least you're not paying a mortgage like here. All I need is a house. Once I have a house, I'm good. Okay, fine. So you put some money together, or you start sending money to your sister, to your brother, to your uncle. You buy a piece of land and you start building. The problem is, whenever you send money home to your relative to buy you land, to buy you a plot, there is no guarantee that they're going to buy that plot. We have heard horror stories where people have sent a lot of money. They have sent $1.2 million equivalents of millions of local money, millions, 2 million, 3 million of local money, depending on your country. And this money has been misused. Your loved ones, your relative, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your auntie, your mom, your own dad, they did not buy the piece of land for you. They spent the money. Your dad repaired the roof for his own house and he bought a few cows. Your mom bought another plot. Your mom paid for your uncles, for your siblings' education. Your brothers, they finished their own houses. Your sister, she bought a plot and built her own house. She did not buy anything for you. You go home and you get the shock of your life. They did not buy the plot for you. Now, if you have a piece of land and you ask them to build for you, so you give them this amount of money and you say, okay, get a plan for me and someone, and they show you a plan for the house because you need something local, something that is approved by the government of your home country. It is approved and you get all copies of everything that you need. But you know what happens? In many cases, your relative, your loved one, your contact, your lawyer, your contractor, your best friend, your neighbor, the one that you trust more than your own parents, than your own relatives, they say, you know, this person, we went to school together, they know me very well and I trust them more than my brother because my brother squandered my money last time, I'm going with my good friend. No. I am going the official way. I have gotten in touch with a contractor. We have signed documents. He's going to build for me. I've heard the bad stories that other people talk about, so I am not going to trust my relatives. I'm going to go with a contractor. They still take your money. When your brother starts a house for you, they start two houses, one for them and one for you. You receive photographs of the project. You see photographs of their house, not your house. You see photographs of another house that is very far from your own place. They are taking pictures of another house and they are telling you, this is the house. This is the progress. Send more money. More cement is needed. We need more stones. I've just ordered more stones. Oh, we ran out of water and we brought the big truck to bring water. So many things are going on. We need this, we need that, we need sand. We got a truck of sand and that's what we are using. Oh, my dear sister, I used my own money. You need to send me about $300. American dollars, because I spent my own money. So you do that quickly and send the money. Or you don't want your brother to be out of pocket. They say they are so good, they use their own money to buy your truck of sand to finish your house. And then you go home, there is no house. And then you go home, the house that they built for you is substandard. They use the worst material, the cheapest material ever. So be careful. It is good. It is the best idea to have a home that you can go to. But who is building the home for you? Think about that. Is it worth investing in? Is it worth putting money on? Remember, okay, the other thing that I have seen is people are coming from your home country to the foreign lands, and they're coming to talk about the plots that they are selling. They're talking about homes that they have built, beautiful homes. They come with pictures of their homes. They come with videos, and they do a presentation, and they say, this is what we have. And you all sign up and you buy from these people. You know them, you have seen them face to face, and you trust them. Be careful. Think about it. Is this real? Is this where you should be taking your money? So, my dear listener, there are opportunities in the foreign land. There are investment companies where you can invest your money for retirement. There are retirement projects or programs that you can go into that the regular Canadian, regular Americans are relying on, are counting on, because they don't have the opportunity that you have to invest back home. They don't have, they are British, they were born in UK, they lived in the UK for the last 500 years. They do not have that back home to go to. So they have a retirement program that they're going to rely on. Are you thinking of investing there? Is that an option for you? Is there a possibility for you putting your eggs into different pockets or baskets? Is there an opportunity for you to put, is it an option for you to put your eggs into different baskets? Something in your foreign land and something in your home, back in your home country, so that you don't lose everything. The thing, in most cases in your foreign land, a lot of investment is assured, at least up to 75%. Back home, you don't have those guarantees. There is more return back home, but the guarantee is not there. So you have the returns from back home, but no guarantee. Lower returns in your foreign country, in your foreign land, but more guarantee. So think about it. What are the options? I'm going to talk more about the options at our next at the next program. So tune in again on Friday at 9 p.m. Mkarimu.net, Mkarimu Radio at Mkarimu.net. I'm going to continue with this conversation, and we're going to talk about I'm still going to continue to talk about how your money is being spent, and it is in later programs that I'm going to talk about the options that you have. So what are the options for you right now, up to now, is invest back home or invest here, knowing that you have not lived in this country for long enough to make a lot of retirement or to benefit a lot from your retirement. What are your options? At the same time, thinking about how much money you're sending back home. Should you be sending money home to help everyone, or should you be keeping money for yourself, so that you have something to fall back to? Remember, I know that I talked about the cows that you don't have, the chickens and the eggs that you don't have. A lot of people back home, by the time they're in your 50s, like you, they have a job. And they have a project back home, the way we used to do it. But remember, our parents, when they got into their 50s, they had their job that they were working on, but they have some project at home. They have cows that they would sell milk from. They had a small shop that your mom worked in if she was not employed in another organization. Your uncle had a matatu, had a small taxi that was bringing in money. a lot of people had something. They had some rental units that were bringing in money. So a lot of people that you're helping, a lot of people that you're sending money to, when they go to those fundraising, they are not using their salaries. They are using their other project monies. They have some rental units that they go to collect money from. They have some projects that they get money from. So you have to think about that.